Thank you.
Amen. Well, let's have a word of prayer for the ministry this morning. Father, we thank you again for your word. We pray especially that, as Paul said, that it might run its course.
Yes.
Now, Lord, what this means to us is that it will run into those areas of our heart and life that we need to hear your speaking. We need, Lord, that you should shed light in many places, known not to us, but known to you. So we pray that as Paul said to Timothy, that the word of God may run its course. So, Lord, this morning we come with confidence and boldness, not in ourselves. Lord, who are we? But we come to the one who is sufficient for every situation, however dire, difficult, or even joyful. Father, we thank you. You give us many seasons in our life. And in them all, whatever they are, we want to say you are worthy of our love and praise, gratitude. And we say again how precious you are. So, Lord, speak to us again from your word. And we thank you that it does its mighty work, the implanted word of God, as we heard Peter say, who has gone for 2,000 years but still speaks. The implanted word will do its work. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And so this morning, I wonder if you could open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 6. And we're going to look at a couple of verses. We're going to kind of pluck them out. We're going to look at verse 5 and 6. Now, I am going to continue on Naaman the Syrian at a later time. I don't want to, I'm only putting that away. But this verse, this little thing in Revelation really spoke to my heart some days ago, actually. And we want to look at what is for us here that is current to the hour in which we live. So if you could open, if you're not there already, open to Revelation chapter 6, and we'll read just two verses. And this has to do with the third seal. Now, my Bible has a subtitle, The Scarcity on the Earth. I wish, with all good intention, the translators and compilers of this wonderful book, with all good intention, try to help us, to keep us kind of on the straight and narrow of their interpretation of various events. And sometimes, and this I'm afraid is one of those times when these things are less, probably best left to the day and hour and the events and circumstances where God speaks to us. We can believe something that someone else has said and miss what the Lord actually, how he might apply it to current circumstances. I hope you understand what I'm saying. And let me ask, am I coming through okay? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so verse 5. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius." A denarius essentially was a day's wage, just so we understand. "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." And also, if you look in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 24, very familiar verses from the Lord to his disciples and to us, to all disciples in all times. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And one last verse in Matthew, this time in chapter 24, looking at verse 24 and 25. "For false Christ, False prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. And I love these last few verses or words from the lips of the Lord. See, I have told you beforehand. Now, one thing that I have been very exercised in recent months about, and that is this matter of how much preparation the Lord gave to his disciples before his departure. Now, think about that for a moment. He knew much more than they did what was about to transpire. He also knew that their time frame of his second return was not right. But it was one of those things he could not explain. And a lot of what God does is like that. He can't explain it until the time comes. It remains sort of hidden, sort of as a placeholder. It gives us some indication that the Lord is coming, obviously, and that he's going to do certain things, and that there will be certain events. But he only gives us just enough so that our faith is always, as we heard, that we see only him, that we keep him always before us. Not the prophecy, not the events around us, but we always keep him before us. Now imagine if he told us everything in detail of how it all might unfold. How much would I keep my eye on Jesus? Would my emphasis be on the events or on him? It's only human nature. We would turn from him very subtly, and we'd look at the events, not him. So he was very careful. But I love those last verses. See, I have told you beforehand. And I just wonder how many, and I think there are dozens, if not dozens and dozens, and perhaps hundreds, of places in the Gospels where Jesus said, I have told you beforehand. His intention was to prepare them. His intention is to prepare us so that we're not caught off guard. Now we're looking in Revelation at a particular event which follows that great, wonderful chapter 5 that no one was found to open the seals. Now I'm going to depend on your knowledge of these verses. But if you remember, some of us pray and quote some of these verses in chapter 5. That John wept because no one was found worthy to open the book and to break its seals and open the book. And then, of course, the angel told John, weep not, but the lion from the tribe of Judah, and so on. Those wonderful words of the Lord Jesus was found worthy. He alone, in all of human history, previous history and history yet to be written, no one is as fair as the Son of God. That's the picture. He alone is worthy to open the seal, to open the book, and break the seals. And so how much more do we have to have our eyes on Jesus? He alone has the key. Now, part of that, we hear the angels singing. In fact, in verse 9, they sang a new song. So this began a new song in the universe. And who was singing? It says that everyone who was under the earth, on the earth, above the earth, everyone, every living being sang a new song. The old song, I think, was the old covenant. All of those things wrapped around the Jewish or the Mosaic law and the sacrifices, that were only a picture. This morning, we sing a new song. Everyone who believes, whether Jew or Gentile, we sing a new song. Aren't you glad? And that song includes Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, and to the Lamb forever and ever. So we see the wonderful revelation that God unfolded, that God became flesh, that God became a man, that there is a man in the throne. This is a new song, different than anything ever before. And we've spent 2,000 years as the Lord has unfolded history, some of it quite confusing, some of it quite unrelated, at least to us, some of it full of great violence, and you name it. 2,000 years is a long time. So this is the backdrop of the opening of the seal that we want to look at this morning, and that is the seal of the black horse. So if you could just think of that, only Jesus could, and I think these seals were preparatory. They were intended to prepare God's people, for not knowing that it would be 2 millennium, 20 centuries, that he would not return yet, but that the Lord would prepare them and prepare us and for those after us for his coming, of the events that are taking place on the earth. Now, there's four things here that we quickly, in this seal being broken, that took place. We see, first of all, a black horse. And we're going to talk a little bit about this black horse. And I think it's fair that we can kind of pull this out, because I think it's very relative to the day we are living in. The second is the balance, or the scales. The third is the ephah, a measure. A measure, an ephah was a measurement. And then finally, the oil and the wine. So let's look at them quickly. First of all, the black horse. Now, I believe, unlike some, that, and they may be right, that this has to do with a great famine that is coming. And this is probably true. Actually, there have been no less than a half a dozen great famines in every century, some of them worse than others, some of them not as bad as others, at least 6 in every century since Christ rose from the dead and ascended. Famines are nothing unusual in human history. And many of these famines happen for various reasons. Some of them are wars. In fact, most of them are caused by wars. People are fighting. They're not growing food. It causes famine. Some of them are brought on the Great Plague was brought on, or it was accentuated. It was made more intense because of a famine, because of the 100-year war between England and France. It was sort of a perfect storm. But this black horse, I don't think, represents just famine. It represents something that was cut loose and began to be cut loose, I think, with the founding of the Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar, and was continued by Cyrus and Artaxerxes and Xerxes, and then, of course, Alexander the Great in Rome, and right into the European history. And it has to do with commerce. That's what it has to do with. And this black horse is not death, because the next seal is death. This is a unique horse. The next horse is the pale horse, which brought in Hades and death. So this black horse is actually something that is hidden. It's not obvious. It's in the darkness. It's not so clear. Let me read you something about this that someone put in better words. And I don't like to read, so because things can be lost as we read things verbatim in a message. But I felt it so important, that the insight that this man had. The black horse and his rider represent the world of business. Now, this was written over 100 years ago, and he was referring to rising industrialization of the world and commercialization. How much more have we seen it just in the last 100 years? Remarkable. And we'll say a little bit about this. And it's very subtle. It's in darkness. That is, it does it without us knowing it. That is, knowing its full implication on our life in drawing us away from the Lord. So he goes on, he says, which has been a mighty factor in shaping the history of the Christian era and in determining the character of Christian civilization. He continues on. Commercialism had its rise, especially during the Babylonian captivity. It began in much with many of the apostate Jews who remained in Babylon, who after the devastation of their land, city, and temple were dispersed among the nations. Now, they weren't alone in this. All of mankind, everybody wants to have money. Everybody, with money comes power. With money comes a kind of freedom. Actually, we know that it's actually something dark. That is, we think it brings freedom, but behind it is a bondage. You can't serve two masters, Jesus said. You can't serve God and mammon. So reading on, this was common to the whole human race, and it began, and we are seeing it in heights that we never dreamed possible. And he, writing this 100 years ago, let me just tick down, you will think that you're reading an article from today. Men became a race of traders to perfect a marvelous, invisible, yet closely knitted system of international finance and commerce. A system which just now is attaining the full development of its power. He wrote this 100 years ago. Oh, what would he say now with Twitter and all the social media? They're spying on us. You understand, you and I are their product. They use the information they give us to manipulate. It's done in the dark. It's truly a dark horse. Very subtle. You think that you can outwit this thing. Now, I'm not advocating against getting off Facebook. Please don't listen. Facebook, as anything in the world that God brings to mankind, it has a good side. I've seen wonderful fellowship among Christians, especially at times like this, and it comes from Facebook. So please don't, you continue to do. I'm asking you to consider the insidiousness of how deep this commercialism has become, even in our age, and how God must protect us. But let me read on here. Unseen meshes, strong as steel, the destinies of nations and communities and individuals. Isn't that amazing? Some of the amazing things that we are reading about, how some people are finding their whole identity on these platforms, which fixes the price of all commodities. Because we are so interconnected in such intimate ways, money can be manipulated in ways that we never dream possible. Commodities, food, items of interest to us that make our lives more comfortable, which molds public opinion through the press. Do we have the press trying to manipulate our opinion right now? I hope I see a yes from everybody, like never before. This is a black horse. It's very subtle, which sets molds public opinion through commanding its service by the power of advertising. Again, he wrote this 100 years ago. Imagine how much change it was beginning to happen with such intensity with the advent 100 years ago. You've got the telegraph, and actually there was the phone was had already come in, which sets and changes the fashions and styles of dress at its pleasure, which controls public amusements, and which dictates the policies of government. Isn't that amazing? So here's the picture of this black horse going out. And it's important for us, I think, to know that the meaning of this word, black horse, it means hidden. It's something that is not so apparent at first glance. In fact, far be it, it's not apparent. Sometimes it's not apparent for quite a long time. Let me find my other notes here. The nouns associated with this Greek word are the idea of darkness, being done in the dark, being done in the gloom of darkness. That's the idea. So I don't think that this black horse, though it may represent something about the lack of food, it has something far more insidious. And that is that it darkens the mind and causes us to be preoccupied with something other than God. Now, the Lord is warning us. Remember what he said, I told you so. I reminded you. He's letting us know that we have to be on guard with these things. Now, another thing that I think we ought to notice in the second part of this is the scales. This, to me, represents very much commerce and business, the scales of commerce. And this is something that is done, in fact, in Hosea. It refers to those who were in captivity at that, or who would go into captivity of God's people. They are referred to as a cunning merchant using deceitful scales at their hand, and they love to oppress. So there are the scales. I think we are living in a time right now when commerce, and this is really what Google, Facebook, iPhone, I mean, I hate that there's a list, you can't escape it. I have an iPhone. Most of us have some kind of a digital device. Everything we do, they are capturing and recording with one thing in mind, to sell your information to someone else so they can sell you something. The Lord's help. We need to be on guard. I'm not suggesting that you disconnect yourself tomorrow. In fact, don't. Ask what the Lord would have you do, if anything. But I do think that this black horse that the Lord is warning the church, warning his people, that has broken the seal of what was coming. And the other six seals are very similar in preparation throughout history. They were preparatory. Now, the third thing is a quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius. Now, what might this mean? I think the meaning is found in the kind of food that is mentioned, the wheat and the barley. Now, what's the difference between barley and wheat? I bet David James can answer. What is barley used for, or who uses barley most of all, Dave, in the Bible? What is it most? You are muted.
Well, I know it's used a lot to make beer.
Well, it sure is. In fact, that's mostly what it's used for now. Barley is the cheapest of the cheap grain. It's used for the poor. You remember in Judges, it says one of the Midianites had a dream. You remember, he said, a barley loaf rolled into, and Gideon heard the dream. You remember? God took him down and said, hey, if you doubt me, go down to listen and you will hear something. He overheard a conversation between two of them. One of them said, I had the weirdest dream last night. I dreamed that a barley loaf rolled down the hill and struck the tent of the Midianites. And I heard a voice saying, the sword of Gideon, the sword of the Lord. And we know that Gideon was a poor man. The Midianites had made them poor by their rejection of God's God. He had brought upon them the enslavement of the Midianites. Now, another verse that you might find interesting about barley, if I can find it here quickly. Then Elijah, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a sigh, a measurement of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two sai of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Now we know this story, that they were under siege. But we can see here that, as we do in Revelation, that barley is cheaper than good grain. And the idea here is we have two classes of people here. We have the wealthy and we have the poor, or the, I'm not sure they're poor, they're just average. And that's who I think is represented here by the quart, or it says three quarts of barley and one quart for a day's wages of wheat. This super information, this commercialization is going to be inescapable by the poor and the rich. They're going to be taken in. And we've seen this firsthand, of course, throughout just in the last few years. You know, recently I just learned, maybe you know about it. I didn't know till I watched something regarding how to protect yourself from some of the unintended consequences of downloading certain apps so that they're not following you and gathering metadata, as they call it. And you have a setting in your, under settings, if you have an iPhone, I don't know about a Droid, but I'm sure it's similar, but it is notifications. I'd like for you after the meeting to go to notifications. And besides your various maybe social media, I want you to look at how many are loaded there, probably without your knowledge. Everything from weather, and of course your text messaging and your email gives you a notification. Now, notification sounds pretty benign. It sounds pretty innocent. Actually, it's a two-way street. What you've done is you've opened a two-way conversation through digital communication of what everything you are doing and saying when you use that app. They are getting it. And they're selling it. They're using it to sell us things. It's all done by artificial intelligence, probably every bit of it now. It's not somebody sitting in a room back somewhere at Google. It's all done by artificial intelligence. Look at your notifications. It will blow your mind how many are listed. You probably had no idea that you had given them such permission to monitor you. Commerce is the drive of fallen man. Money, power, influence. And we live in an hour that I believe with this black horse, we've been warned by the Holy Spirit to be on guard, to be aware. to be before the Lord on this. So may the Lord do to each one of us. Now, I've given you all negative here. And we need to focus on the fourth thing before we end on this wonderful, and this is really what struck me about these verses, are the last eight words of this verse in verse 26. Do not harm the oil and the wine. Now, in spite of this uncontrollable force, you think you can control this. You think you can, that you're smart enough, and I'm smart enough, wise enough. I have enough. Oh, no, they're not going to catch me. Jesus even said that if it were possible, the elect would be deceived. If possible. What makes it impossible? Only the indwelling Holy Spirit. It's not because of your clever mind and my clever mind. It's because God has put his hand upon his people. And here we have two marvelous symbols in Scripture that come even from the Lord himself. Do not harm the oil and the wine. So what is the oil the most prominent symbol of in the Scripture? Somebody can answer me. You've got to unmute.
Go ahead.
The Holy Spirit, Bill.
The Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say? How long would the Holy Spirit be with us?
Till the end of the age.
He said, and he shall be with you and in you forever. There's been a divine decree on God's people that the thing that seals us is the Holy Spirit. He protects us. He's the Spirit of truth, isn't he? He's the one, he's the paraclete. He's the helper. Aren't you glad we have the helper? My goodness. Do not harm the oil and the wine. This enemy, this dark horse, cannot hurt the work of the Holy Spirit. Not really. He can hurt it, but he can't affect its work in the hearts of God's people. Not really. Not when we're in touch with him. And even I think there's two things at work there. Sometimes we are deliberately or carelessly not listening to the Lord. And he sovereignly speaks to us. Then there's times as we get older, particularly, I have never more woken up at any time in my life than I have now, asking God, what are you saying to me today? It means more to me than ever before. COVID and these situations have made this happen in my heart and life. And he's got some very wonderful and interesting and corrective things to say to me. But he's always there. This black, dark horse cannot affect the work of the Holy Spirit in us, his people. I hope you can say in your heart, praise the Lord and amen. It's true. Now, what about the wine? What does the wine symbolize in the Scripture? What does it do to the human heart?
Joy.
My joy I give to you. My peace I give to you. Now, this is from John. Abiding in Christ, Jesus only, is the joy that remains. You wonder why you're not joyful? I wonder why I'm not joyful. I can always find it that I don't have my eyes on the Lord. I've taken my eyes off of him. I'm overcome with, especially in these days, almost uncontrollable fear. I'm gripped by things that in the end I need to learn to rest in the Lord. Do not harm the oil and the wine. The Lord promised us, he promised us that the peace I give you, not as the world gives, it can't take it away from you. Because it didn't give it to you. He did. The joy that he gives us, the joy that I give you shall remain, he says. Am I joyful? That's a big question. Am I happy only because things are going good? Am I joyful because things seem to be all going my way? What about when things aren't going my way? Am I joyful? I think we should see that we have great hope here, that no matter what comes our way, no matter what is happening, I can have the joy that the Lord gives. No one can take it away. No situation, no dire circumstance, not COVID, not the fear of getting sick. By the way, in those same verses we read in Matthew chapter 6, immediately following the Lord's talking to them about mammon, he says, don't worry about your life. The very next sentence, don't worry about your life. Your life is more than your bank account. It's more than your Social Security check. It's more than the promised land called Medicare. Has anybody here entered into the promised land of Medicare? I have. I'm in Medicare. I'm in the promised land. Is it really the promised land? Not really. But it helps. I thank God for it. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. So I think here in Revelation, and this just this one exhortation about this black horse, this the subtleties, the manipulation of information, we've never seen it more acute than we are seeing it now. We may literally elect the wrong man in this election in just over a week because of the manipulation of these forces in social media. I pray the Lord will overrule it. He will be Lord no matter what happens. But they are at work and it's dark. They work in the shadows. They work in the darkness. But thank God, harm not the oil and the wine. So we are marvelously protected and covered because of the indwelling Holy Spirit, and because you and I have a peace the world didn't give us, and if it didn't give it to us, it can't take it away. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for just the smallest slice of your word, and that it speaks to us in the day and hour in which we are living. We thank you, your word is from Dan to Beersheba, Lord, as it were. It covers every circumstance of life. Wherever your people are, under all circumstances that they dwell, Father, you have declared it so. You have decreed it. Harm not the oil and the wine. And we thank you. We are safely under your covering. Help us, Lord, to be engaged. Help us, Lord, to be on guard. Most of all, Lord, help us to be in thy word, Lord. Sola scriptura, Lord, your word only in the end. We pray it will dwell in our hearts richly in these days of great darkness. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.